Please turn with me tonight to Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Just one verse to consider for the time we have before us tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, and I read verse 16. And maybe it's good to take it from verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So my subject tonight is every opportunity counts. Every opportunity given to you and me by the Lord counts. It's important. I wouldn't go at length in any background of or introduction to this verse, but you can see how the Christian life is illustrated or pictured as a walk many times throughout the Bible, but especially in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The Christian life is compared to a walk. That's the metaphor, a beautiful metaphor. And at least seven times in Ephesians, you find that word walk, to walk, to walk. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we have our past walk. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we have our compassionate and fruitful walk. The Christian is saved to do good works. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, you find our vocational walk. We are called to walk a walk that is worthy of our vocation, that great calling given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, still in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, these are basic things, actually. Even if you do a quick glance through Ephesians, you will find that. And as I said in chapter 4, verse 17, twice we have the differential walk of the Christian. We walk in a different way than the non-believers, than the Gentiles. We were there in the past, but that's not the way we walk now. Then, when you come to Ephesians chapter 5 now, three times you find chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love. A Christian is someone who walks in love. He loves the Lord. He loves earnestly and sincerely the brethren, but he loves also his neighbor. He wants to witness to his neighbor. He wants to pray for his neighbor. He is concerned for other people. And then in chapter 5, verse 8, we read it, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Children of light. Before we were darkness, we did things in darkness, in a gloomy way, in a secret way. But now, because God is light, we are children of light. So we have to be imitators of our Father. And then in verse 15, you find actually the seventh mention of the Christian walk here. In verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. What does that mean? It's a Latin word, actually. It means you can sense the word circumference in the word. We don't use it quite often nowadays, but it means look around, look all around. Don't look in circle, in a vicious circle, but while you are walking, every dimension, every part, every parameter, every aspect, you should be watchful. So be watchful. That's the meaning also. Look all around. Walk carefully. Walk precisely. Walk exactly. Walk accurately. Walk attentively. But also walk diligently. All those aspects are actually in the word circumspectly there. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to think before we act. That's the meaning. We have to walk with caution. Why? Because there are many, many dangers that lay in ambush before you and me, ahead of you. The devil is very crafty. He's very cunning. Many ambushes. So the Christian has to walk circumspectly, carefully, attentively, exactly. And do not be impulsive. That's also another meaning of that word. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to study the Christian life carefully, thoroughly. Why? Because the Christian life is not a game. We have to take it very seriously as we walk with the Lord, as we walk with one another, and as we walk with non-believers. Why this is so important? I'm sure you know that. The people of the world are judging the Lord, the Christian church, and Christians by the way we walk. By the way we walk. They judge the Lord. Oh, is he a savior? Look how his people walk. Look how the church behaves. So we have to walk circumspectly, Paul says. So study carefully the Christian life. Salvation turns a fool into a wise man. That's what the Bible says. I was a foolish man, living for myself, self-centered, self-adulating, self-indulging myself. But then salvation comes. Bible says the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. So the foolish man who said before, there is even no God and just living for himself, for the here and now, there is a transformation, a radical and drastic transformation in his life. He doesn't live anymore for himself. He lives now for the Lord. He has a purpose in life. So we are to walk in wisdom. Why am I mentioning this? Paul mentions it in verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wisdom is related to the way we walk. But also Paul adds now, as we come to verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wisdom, the simplest definition of wisdom, we have given it many times behind this pulpit. Wisdom is knowledge applied spiritually, sacredly. It's not about being skilled or being ingenious or even having a string of many titles, academic titles. That's not wisdom. And wisdom also, because in some places, because somebody is old, he's 60, 70, he's wise. Wisdom has nothing to do with academics. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with knowledge applied spiritually. So the wise man, who is the wise man? The wise man, Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom, but the wise man is the person who walks circumspectly, redeeming the time, and you can see the connection now with wisdom and time. They are closely related. You cannot separate them. You walk as a Christian, God makes you to be wise with knowledge applied spiritually, and that knowledge applied spiritually now makes you also to take into account the time God has given you. So they are interconnected. And why I'm spending time on this one verse, verse 16, because twice it is mentioned in the Word of God. And this is a rudimentary explanation when we do Bible interpretation. When something is mentioned twice, thrice, four times, then it means it's very important. We come to this verse because we haven't dealt with it in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. The same, you find the same admonition, the same exhortation. Paul says in Colossians 4 verse 5, redeeming the time. And here he says also, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So now I would like really to, a lot of things will be said, as you know, but I want to make it practical, really practical. Hopefully you leave this place saying to myself, I must do something. I must really bear in mind this great command given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. So three headings, 3 points if you prefer. The first one is that word, the redeeming. What does it mean? The second, the time. And the third one, the stimulus, or if you prefer, the reason and the why we need to redeem the time. So without any further ado, look at the first aspect, the first heading, redeeming, that word. And I'm sure you know, this is a doctrinal, theological, it's a precious word, really. It is related to salvation. Why? It is a beautiful and precious word. You know that. To whom is it related? The Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us by and with his precious blood. No other blood is sufficient. No other blood is salvific. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are invited, we are exhorted. Please, it's not optional. It's not because it is in the present tense continuous that it is optional. Or if I feel like, no, the redeeming here is a command. It is compulsory to every child of God. And what does it mean? Christ redeemed us by his precious blood. We are also to redeem the time. Being bought back from our vain life, oh, the vain life we have inherited from even our forefathers. That's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, 19. We read it many times. That vain life of the past, we have been redeemed from that. We are wasting time. We are just living for the here and now, not thinking about heaven, not thinking about serving the Lord, not giving homage to the one who has saved us. But as we read the word of God now, we have been bought up. It's our turn also to buy up time, to redeem the time. And so my first question to you tonight, redeeming the time, is there someone you are really burdened about tonight? Someone from your family, at work or at uni, in the neighborhood, in the community, someone you are burdened about, to concerned for, concerned not just for his well-being. Yes, we want to pray for people to be healed, but the greatest healing, the greatest liberation, the greatest freedom is to have my sins forgiven. So that's why we are concerned for people, not just to be compassionate to them, providing physical needs, but the spiritual need, that's greater than anything else. So are you burdened for anyone? Buy up the time. Make use of the best opportunity given to you. A word in season may change his life. Buy him up and set him free. Set him free from the dominion of sin, from the power of sin, and Satan also, and self. We can redeem. Actually, that's the picture behind the word redeem. Here is someone sold to the devil. He's just living for himself. But what must I do as a believer? I want to preach the gospel to him. And I'm sure everyone in this congregation knows that the gospel means good news. Good news from heaven. Good news to the sinners. They can be set free. And now they can have fellowship with the living God. God becomes their father. They can pray to him. They are adopted in his family. And your name will never be erased from the Lamb Book of Life. That's assurance. It is assurance. And I can tell you from experience that the Christian religion is the only one which has a Savior and the only one which gives us that assurance. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, as we repent and trust in him. So that's the first thing. If you ask me what is the meaning of redeeming, it means buy back, buy up that time. But it is also a market word, marketplace word. That's the meaning of redeeming. It is related to slaves in New Testament times. And you know this, I'm sure. When there are sales in shops, what do people do? They are ready to go there. So the same idea, it's a marketplace word, meaning as soon as you enter in some shops, if I can just give you a personal insight here, most of time when I enter in a shop and the person, the seller asks me, can I help you? I feel embarrassed and I want to leave. But the idea, that person, that seller is redeeming the time. Well done. Because she wants, better than Black Fridays or whatever you may put there. The idea is the seller is redeeming the time, making the best of the occasion. I know nothing about farming, but the same idea comes there. The farmer must know exactly when to sow his seed. The farmer must know exactly when it's time for harvest. He is redeeming the time. So you can apply it to different ways in life as you understand the word redeeming. So time is to be redeemed. It is not a help yourself commodity. It's not just there to take. You have to pray about it and take initiatives about it. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to pray for opportunities that day after day, God will give us opportunities to redeem the time, to speak to someone for whom we are burdened, as I said earlier, for whom we want to see coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, if you are not a believer, if you have never sought and found the Lord, the kindest word, I'm underlying that word kindest, the kindest word I can tell you tonight, you are wasting your time. You are not redeeming your time. Why? In Bible pictures, somebody who is not converted, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive me if you don't like my picture here, he is like an animal in a dungeon. A wild animal in a cage. What is he doing? Turning in circle, in vicious circle, not knowing where he's going. Because only the believer can redeem the time. That word can only be applied to a believer. And Paul, who is writing from Ephesians, I'm sure you know that, Paul was in prison. You may say, is that a place where someone could redeem the time? But guess what? Paul was not a wild animal in a dungeon. He was praying. He was witnessing. He was writing Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, 2 Timothy. All these letters were written while he was in prison. So he was redeeming the time. The redeeming of the time means that we have to do wholesome things, to pray, to read the scriptures, to examine our hearts, to witness to non-believers, to worship the Lord, to serve him with all our hearts, but also to attend services where believers meet, but also to visit one another. So to redeem the time is to look around, to test all things. There are bargains. There are bargains every day in this life. What do we do? The commercials, they know that well. That's why they give us many bargains. And you will see people queuing. I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating here. They queue, they don't sleep at home that night when they know there are bargains. They will sleep in front of the shop. They are redeeming the time. That's the picture again. So there are many bargains given to us. We have to take them. But please, my dear brothers and sisters, I hope no one will misunderstand me here. When we speak about redeeming the time, we are not speaking about being task-driven people. We are not speaking about being business-oriented people. That's not what I mean, because you can be task-oriented, you can be very busy in life and achieve nothing. There are people who are busy, they are always busy, but the product, the outcome is nothing. Oh, what a vanity, that's very bad. That's why, you know, the acronym for the word busy in the wrong way, busy is being under Satan's yoke. That's the way you have to look at. If you are not busy for the Lord, Martin Luther, he said, if you are not busy for the Lord, you are not busy at all. So our busyness here is in things related not just to ourselves, but mainly to the Lord. We should be like Mary. In Luke chapter 10, verse 42, it is said that Christ actually spoke there. Please never throw the stone on Martha. I heard preachers saying, oh, Martha, you are busy. But the problem with Martha, she was doing the writing at the wrong time. But Mary now, she was doing the right thing at the right time, to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why she was told, Christ said, Mary has the one thing needed. And Mary has taken that thing which is needed, and she has taken the best part, which will never be taken away from her. So busyness, good, but it must be in the right direction. And please don't be just task-oriented. We are people-oriented. We love people. That's the use of the time. Otherwise, we will just be turning in circles again and being active activists without any fruit, without any result. So redeem the time. And so many irrelevant trifles absorb our time. Please avoid them. Avoid those things which captivate you and make a sacred use of time. Be heavenly minded. But I must move on. The second thing after the redeeming, the verses, redeeming what? The time. The time. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure you know that. The Bible begins with time, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, and ends with time, Revelation 22, verse 20. Christ said, I'm coming soon. Soon is time. So Bible begins with time and ends with time. Now, time is precious. We know that. Time is precious. You know why time is a raw gold? Why time is a treasure? Because it is short. Even if you are 70, you are 80, you are 90, that's just a few days. I was amazed because not long time ago, in October, we celebrated the 500th year of the Reformation. I felt it was like yesterday. Really? Why? Time is short. No matter how you prolongate it or elongate it, no matter how you take it, really longevity you have, as you look at it, time is very short. It is short. So that's why Bible invites us to make the best use of it. It is short because days are also short, the days that are given to us. Every tick of the clock is a reminder that time is short. Time is limited. It flies inexorably and full of trouble. We are like grass, like a vapor, a puff of smoke, a cloud that soon passes. God gave birth to time. You know that. Because God lives outside space and he lives outside time. God doesn't need time. This is my simple way of explaining time. Time is for God to show us his love. That's why he created time. Otherwise, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. So time is his gracious gift for our human race. But also, this is how I look at it. Time is like a bracket, a parenthesis. That parenthesis has been opened from the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. But guess what? One day, that bracket is going to be closed, and there will be no more time. We will enter into eternity. No more time, no more pain, no more sicknesses, no more tears, no more death. Only life in company with the Lord Jesus Christ. So time is a bracket given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, at the appointed time, God sent his son, born of a virgin under the law. Why? For us to be children of the living God, to be adopted in the family of God. So time is precious. You can see there is something beneficial that God has done in due time, in the appointed time, and it is a gift for him to us. So that's why we have to make the best of it. And since the fall, time is against us. A Christian doesn't kill time. You hear people, I'm wandering around, just killing time. No. A Christian doesn't blow up time. That is not even a murder. It is a suicide. Somebody who is killing time, just misusing time, oh, he will give account before God. Now, I have to explain the word time here because it has really a profound meaning. Now, the word time, there are two Greek words used in the Bible to specify or to speak about time. The one used here is not about duration. The duration word is the word we have in English, in French, and in many other languages, chronology. That's not the word used here. The word we have here, as I said, is not about duration, but it is about the quality time, not the quantity. It is about the set time, the opportune time given to us by God to fulfill his purposes. And remember, can I apply Romans 8:28 here? All things work for good. All things, time work for good also for believers. To do something, the appointed time, the set time given to us by God. So we are exhorted here to make the best use of our time for something substantial, something solid, edifying, and giving glory to God. My dear brothers and sisters, I often say this to myself. I was converted, I found the Lord when I was 22, and sometimes I weep, I said I wasted a lot of time prior to my conversion. We have wasted a lot of time before knowing, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So no more time to waste. No more time to waste. So time is so precious. And I believe the richest man in the world is the time redeemer. The devil wants to absorb us by useless things. Oh, how fit is Psalm 92. You know the passage. Moses said, God, oh Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. You see again the relationship between wisdom and time? The two are interconnected. So if you are a wise man or a wise woman, the way you use your time will tell. And better use it wisely. And when you became a believer, it is as if you have sold yourself and your time to the Lord. Some people say, I only give to the Lord 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week? And you say you love the Lord Jesus Christ? But you have sold yourself to the Lord already. He doesn't need a tip. Some people, they are giving a tip to the Lord. Lord, just a week, a day a week is enough for you. And actually, not even a day a week, just one service a week is enough for you. That's what you deserve. And the rest is for whom? Oh, the rest is for me. It's for my family. It's for my work. It's for my pleasures. It's for my leisures, and so on. People are just amused nowadays. No more amazement. We should be amazed, not just amused about things. Awesome things are happening. So we are to be the ones who are redeeming the time. All our time is to the Lord Jesus Christ by right. We are all full-time ministers in the Lord's service. Only what is done for the Lord will last forever. Your money, your work, your car, your house, you will leave it here. But only what is done for the Lord will last forever. You take it with you. Our works will follow us. We read in the book of Revelation. So relationship can be restored. Grades, your exam grades can be regained. You can redo your exam. But time that is misused will never be regained again. You can turn back your clock or your watch, but you cannot turn back the time. It's gone, and it is gone forever. And no time for God. Oh, what a fool, the person who says he has no time for God. So the way we use our time affects our spiritual life. Some people say, I'm too busy. I haven't read the Bible. I cannot read the Bible. I'm too busy. I don't pray because I'm too busy. Busy doing what? This is essential. Can I quote to you again? You heard me many times. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Bible says. So, no time to read, no time to attend services, no time to pray, no time to call someone to encourage him, no time to witness. Then we are misusing our time. If you don't redeem the time, time will go against you and become your worst enemy and judge. Now, thirdly, We explained the redeeming part, we explained the time part, but now the reason. Why should we redeem the time, the stimulus? Why? What is the reason? The reason is given to us, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. I don't know if there is a humanist here. Okay, if you are here, the humanist is saying and believing this world is going to get better and better. Better and better. Oh, what a wonderful world, they sing. Paul says, no, what a sad world. What a sad world. Why? The days are evil. The days are evil. Time is not evil, but the world in which we live is evil. It's polluted, it is contaminated, it is anti-God. There is great antagonism against the living God. It is a reality. Time is good, but this world is evil. And the word evil there, Pastor explained it to us when he was dealing with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The word evil there, it's not about being intrinsically bad and corrupt and morally evil. That's not the meaning here. The meaning of the word evil here, it means damaging, harming. The days are harming. The days are damaging. We live in a broken world. We are broken people. We are all depressed in one way or the other. Why? Because of sin within us. You see, every day is filled with the deceitfulness of man's heart. The lion, the old serpent, the dragon has not yet stopped walking around and roaring, seeking whom to devour us, as 1 Peter tells us. The devil has not stopped yet working. So we need to remember that the days are evil and the churches are being invaded by the world instead of influencing the world. Oh, days are evil. People worship themselves. We live, let me call it the me-ism generation. Me, just me. And no one else. My opinion, my thoughts, my ideas, my imagination. It's all utopia, actually. But people think this is great. Things that have never heard before, have never happened before, are happening nowadays. The other day, a brother was telling me, you know the latest news? Someone marrying himself, going to the town hall. Who is your spouse? Who is the groom? Who is the bride? I'm the groom, I'm the bride. I sign for myself. Never heard that before. Three men being in marriage together. Never heard that before. Am I inventing those things? The days are evil. But guess what? If the days are evil in Paul's time, you remember what brought the flood? Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8. What brought the flood? The heart of man was wicked. So the flood came. And Paul is telling us the days are evil 2,000 years ago. What are they now? More than evil, damaging. Harming. That's what they are. How do we know? Opportunities are fading away. You know that. Doors are closing. I was told in the past, in this nation, even in this great city, before children enter in a classroom at school, they pray, they read the Bible. There are schools now, it is forbidden. Most schools, actually. Maybe one or just few exceptions. Open-air preaching is forbidden in so many places. So the days are evil. We have to bear that in mind. Unmatched hatred against the gospel. Unbelief is rampant. So please forgive me if you think I have been negative. But I want to be positive as I close. Time is a gift of God to you and me. And every gift God has given to us, we will be accountable to him. Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15, my days are in your hands. My time is in your hand. So your time is your life. Please think about it when you leave tonight. Time is short. Bear in mind its brevity. So how can a Christian redeem the time? I want to give you, as I close, some guidelines. Please, this is not moralization or to moralize anyone. There are thousands of books written about managing the time. But these are very simple guidelines to help us, according to the word of God. How can I redeem? Practical, in a practical way. How can I redeem the time? So I will not give you, tell you how many I have, but I will see my time is almost over. So the first one, how to redeem the time. To redeem the time, we have to be inconveniencing ourselves. If it's not an English word, choose a better one. We have to inconvenience ourselves, which means that a sacrifice is required if you want to redeem the time. What do I mean by inconveniencing myself? It means I have to leave something good for something better. That's the first. By the way, it's not by order of importance. The second one, the second help I have, or to redeem the time, you have to put off the old man. Kill the old man. Suffocate him. Strangle him, if it's required. So put off the old man. Abhor what is evil, Paul says in Romans 12, verse 9. Time spent feeding sin is destructive. You know, why do we fall in sin? Because it's in us. There is a magnet in us. That's why Satan, we fall into Satan's hand. Because there is that magnet in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't fall into sin. So we put on, we resist the devil. We remain humble, sober, serious, sound, vigilant. Never put confidence in the flesh. Abstain from fleshly lusts. The way we use our time will tell how close we are to the Lord. The third one, a balanced Christian life between work, church, and family. Please be balanced. I heard people, they said, we said in this church, neglect your family for the work of the Lord. We have never said that. We said, don't be disproportional. It's not all family, family. It's not all work, work. It's not all service, service. Be balanced. That's what the Bible says. And that's what the Bible teaches. Don't neglect your family. The Lord, you will be accountable before the Lord. Don't neglect the service of the Lord. Toil, labor, knowing that your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It will not be in vain in the Lord. If you are doing it for the Lord, it will not be in vain. So a balanced Christian life, because only what we do for the Lord, this world is going to pass by. 1 John 2:17, only what we do for the Lord will remain. And who does the will of God is eternal. So we are not give ourselves our work to the neglect of our family. The fourth one, seek to understand the will of God. How do we know the will of God? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. That's there to know the will of God. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. So you will know the will of God. It's here in verse 17, Ephesians 5, 17. We are to know the will of God and walk in the will of God. So make every decision according to the word of God. His will is that sinners are being saved. The fifth one, plan your time. Think ahead of time. Think forward. It's very important. Distinguish between the urgent and the important. Do the right thing at the right time. I often say, don't read good books. Oh, I'm in trouble. Read only the best. Why? Because time is short. So read good books, but read the best, because time is short. Your days and my days are counted. And sixth one, do good to other people. That's the purpose. You are saved. Galatians 6, verse 10, while you still have time, the opportunity again, it's there. While you still have time, do good to other people, especially to all men, but especially those of the household, the Christians. So a Christian is someone who does good works. Hebrews 13, verse 16, verse 21. A Christian does good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are saved to do good works. James, the letter of James is all about this. The body without soul is dead. The faith without works is also dead. So we have all the teaching, the instructions in the Word of God about how to do good to other people. Befriend the lonely and those who are at the fringe in the church. Someone may need to be shown love and care, so we are there for him. Please, I know you heard me saying this many times. People are important, not projects and possessions. We love people. We want to see people come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seventh one, constantly and always asking yourself, what does God want me to do? When Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, that's his first question. What do you want me to do, Lord? Today, tomorrow, next week, next year, what do you want me to do? The eighth one, self-discipline, self-restraint, self-control. Do not be imbibed, but be sober. You know, Luther, he said, there are only 2 days on my calendar. Today, this day, and that day. Only 2 days. So he knew what it means to redeem the time. Today, Bible says, is the day of salvation. Salvation is only in the span of time. Now is the favorable time to repent and to be saved. The ninth one, seek to serve the Lord on every opportunity. Every occasion given to you. Secure every moment for the Lord. Remove the obstacles that will prevent you from serving the Lord, from attending the services, from prayer, from reading the scriptures, from witnessing. Remove the obstacles. Resist the devil, Bible says, and he shall flee from you. And repent from the time wasted. Lay up your treasures in the right place. We are not to live just to enjoy the here and now. Live today in the light of tomorrow, heaven. Finally, check your motives. Evaluate your actions daily. What you are supposed to do for the Lord. What do you spend your time most on? My dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give us many, many opportunities. Every opportunity counts. May he give us many opportunities, great opportunities, to buy up the time and help us to make the best use of each opportunity for his glory. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Let's close by singing our last hymn, hymn number 608. Hymn number 600.